me, and he's Charlie Brown's teacher, you know, coming up with his jargon, and all, that's all I can hear. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question first before you continue. And he goes, well, sure, what is that? And I said, is it true that necessity obviates the law, which I meant to say excuses, but it's kind of another way of saying it. And he goes, well, what do you mean? I said, well, aren't you competent as the counsel to aid in my defense? He says, yes. I said, well, then why are you asking me? Because it was legal words I was using, you know? And then it was terminated. So, less is more. I use very, very little to get great results. Leading up to that, I threw so much shit, garbage cans and kitchen sink and garbage truck. I threw everything at the courtroom. It's like, oh, God, you know? And I got to this point. So now we go to your boy where he's at. He's already gone through the plea offering, correct?
Yeah.
The arraignment. So he's already said, oh, I'm not guilty of this stuff. It's all bogus charges. I'm going to fight this to the end, right?
Yeah.
All right. So he got to that point. And now, has he requested for any, or he's been offered anything for, you know, hey, listen, we'll call this account if you do this. Has he gotten a plea deal offered yet?
No. Well, he hasn't offered them anything. I don't know what they offered him. They offered him a plea deal.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Have they offered him anything? Have they said anything?
Yes.
They have said, but they haven't offered in writing yet.
No.
But they said there's an offer on the table.
Yeah. They said, you take this plea deal and we'll reduce the amount of time you go to jail.
Right. Now, what the deal is to have him, and I'm not saying this is the way to do it, I'm saying this is the way I would do it. I'm very strong in this knowledge and being able to freaking conduct myself in a proper way is to get them to get that in writing. And I said, hey, I hear you saying it, but I don't see the plea deal before me, please. You know, and look at the civil procedure in the area, too, about plea deals. See what it says about it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and write to the court saying, hey, I'm hearing things, but I'm not seeing it written down. Nothing moves without paper.
Yeah, right.
Nothing. That's another thing people got to get in their heads. Is that, okay, you're the blah, 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 so what? So what? All men are a liar. Put it on paper.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And what we know, and if you're, there's an attorney that we had a talk with, and we talked about the bankruptcy of the United States and why we can get away with the way we do things is because they remove the titles, they remove the gold, so we cannot complete contract. Without title and gold, you cannot freaking fulfill contract. We also know that they're operating in bankruptcy, and for them to come at you and say they have a claim when it's actually a complaint, it's operating in bankruptcy. And they have no standing, so that's why you have more standing with your weight of your pen than they have in their voice. And that's why they don't want to give you any piece of paper to write on. Because I have a friend of mine out of Colorado that was being attacked by the state of Colorado for state taxes, okay?
Yeah.
She took and she was in jail. They're holding her husband. And I'll send you this. Actually, it's on my drive. I'll send it to your email. They gave her a signed plea deal, and you should see what she did to it. And what happened as soon as she got entered to the court, it was within minutes of them receiving the court, she was released from the jail. Everything on her own, everything was over. It was done, and all she did was take her little blue ink pen, took and scratched out everything she didn't like, initialed it, wrote into what she wanted, and signed it and sent it in. She scratched out everything that had to do with her having to do anything with serving the state, and it freed her, and she was gone.
That was it? That was the plea deal? She countered the plea deal and scratched out what she didn't like?
She took the original plea deal that was signed by the prosecutor.
Wow.
I'll send you this. You get to see it physically.
Cool.
She, and this is why I know this is the, we've always known this, and then I also got full evidence of it actually existing and being executed. Everything for me is by execution. You know, yeah, we can philosophize all we want. Has anybody ever executed it? you know, successfully, repeatedly successfully. That's the problem. Repeated success, the problem in execution. Everybody says, well, I did it once, but the next guy couldn't, and the third guy, you know, got thrown in jail. Now, that there's something wrong with that system. We got to scrap that one. We got to go to a new one. That's why we know what we know it today, is because trial and error, debriefing, and sharing.
So you're saying that she did that because they're in bankruptcy and they don't have a claim. So she got to scratch out what she didn't like and turn it back
in. Yeah, she was reading it. She goes, well, I don't remember discussing any of this stuff. It was like, because what they gave her was was pretty much a blanket coverage plea deal with, you know, normal plea deal garbage on it. And you should see what my plea deal looked like. It looked like a third grader wrote it. It didn't even look like it was a freaking format thing, and then they just added a few things, you know, like this is all format, and then they just added the few things that they're offering you. But she got this. You'll see it. You'll see it for fact. But she didn't even ask for this. She didn't have a request for it. They just so happened to freaking have a prosecutor that had his head up his ass and gave her a signed plea deal, not realizing she knew what to do with a signed plea deal.
Wow.
And I swear to God, a Colorado State freaking prosecutor will probably never ever do that to someone ever again.
Yeah.
And so you have to force them to give it to you in writing. You have to be able to find a way to force them to put the plea deal in writing. You'll find it in the freaking civil rules of procedure. It's to be civil. An offer is not an offer unless it's signed by the freaking offerer.
Wow.
You'll find it in there. I swear to God, start reading tonight. You'll see it.
I'll look for it.
I'm almost that confident, because you'll see plea deals and how they're supposed to be done.
Yeah.
And if they're not done that way, then make your motion to the court saying, you know, I hear something is going on. However, the rules of procedure, you know, states, you know, quote unquote, and I've yet to receive the plea deal.
Wow.
And get it, force them to sign it.
Cool.
So they have nothing, you have something, and then you just look at it and go, ah, yeah, 15 years in jail, I ain't doing that, I'm scratching that out, MTG. Yeah, thank you, have a nice day, whatever I feel like writing underneath there is what the condition of this one line is, and then, oh, yeah, they want money, no, I'm scratching up. The first clause of the United States Constitution says that, you know, that a reads that I, you know, and you'll see what she did. I mean, you'll see how simple this part of it is by, so what I do is it's simple to see it this way, and then all of a sudden you sign it, and then you get a freaking, notarize if you have to, and have it entered in the courtroom, and then watch the magic, you know, watch their faces explode, all this shit. So I know it works, because I have a friend of mine that did it.
Wow.
And it's something that we've known through the studies in 10 years, that if you can get them to sign a plea deal, you know, it's just important to have it that way, because what they're trying to do is do a bait and switch, like going, okay, so then suddenly you make a mention in the voice, and then they'll print out something for you to sign. And that's totally reverse. No. It's their offer. They're trying to sell you the house. They're trying to sell you the statute.
Yeah.
You know, this is our offer, so that's the way it's supposed to be written.
So he's going to go in there and he's going to tell his attorney, I want to change my position here, and I want to take the plea deal. I want you to write me up a plea deal and sign it, and then I'll look at it, and we'll go from there.
That's one of the ways of looking at it is taking, you know, because he already passed one point, and that's why he's got to go to the next point, and he's got to go to the next point, and it always comes all the way to the end, you know. I mean, you still have a chance to ask for forgiveness and the change of the plea. You can always do a change of the plea.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I like to re-enter the plea. Now, that's another way, because just to get out of that thing so we can learn and be on the safe side. You know, that's the first thing I think about of anybody. You know, everybody wants to make everything end and expunge it and everything else. Who gives a, you know, as long as it's not a felony and it's like it doesn't harm you in the future and, yeah, you got accused, but there's ways of working that out on the outside of the jail where you're not fighting it. So it's better to be, like, my record still has the mental health stays. It still has the freaking case on it, and it just, you know, it doesn't bother me. You know, it might bother some other people because it's there, but, you know, it's been there a bunch of years now, and I really haven't done anything to really expunge it yet because I haven't found that magical way of going back at it yet. But it's coming. You know, it'll be given to me because I have great amounts of patience. I mean, trust me, 9 months in the nut house, you better have some patience. And the thing is that you know, he can even go in and request, because we have a story where a guy that did that, he requested the plea deal to be altered. So we went and had a plea deal alteration, and he said, I want to change my plea deal to guilty. However, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, came out of his mouth next. Judge smiled at the guy, forced him back this one up, told him that he something about that he moved the freaking from criminal to civil. When you go to civil, now it's only Article 1, Section 10, First Clause. And because that's civil's contract, you just got to prove this is no contract. And he moved it from criminal to civil and gave him the transcripts and all the paperwork from the criminal side, gave it to him. His attorney's going to do nothing about it. He's going to do a damn thing about it. Wow. This just happened just recently, too, by the way. Yeah. So even that's a possibility. Get them to make the plea deal, written and thing, and then sign it and make everything disappear, or try doing a plea deal change, saying, hey, you know, I want to change it from not guilty to guilty, and go in there, and then, but you got to be on your toes. You cannot falter before God at that time. You will fail. It will be ugly, and that's the risk we got to take if we have belief in what we do.
Yeah.
I could do it. I know I could do it.
So,
And your friend do it. That's the thing about it.
Well, that's what
he's got to stand on that.
I got to work on that with him. I got to have him rehearse. And
those are the kind of things, you know. And if he's in jail, where's he at? Is he on bond or is he in jail?
He's on bond.
Okay, so you don't have to worry about anybody listening on his phone calls. He needs to come into my kind of conversation too, and just see, hear the calmness of how I do this. You know, now you understand how I'm talking.
Yeah.
You saw what I did before, you guys. That's how I operate.
Yeah.
I don't get in all this chaos of like, oh, I got all of this, and I'm running this paperwork, and these words, and there's Jesuits, and this and that, and all these people control. I could care less. Only thing I want to do is find peace in mind and heart and God and soul. And whatever that takes to get to that level the fastest is what makes my gut nut, you know. Because if I put a piece of paper out there and I'm worrying about it, then something wrong with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't see it any other way. I put a piece of paper out there, I'm worrying about it, so it's got to be wrong.
Yeah.
I want to do things that I feel absolutely comfortable with. And that's like, I understand the power of a contract. The reason I understand is because of what I went through. I understand that it is all a contract. You set up the contract before they set up the contract, or you're not gonna like what you're gonna get. And they can't write the contract because they're bankrupt.
Wow.
They'll try, but they'll win because they know you don't know how to defend in God's name, in honor, and accept all offers upon proof of claim. However, it is true that I went through that stoplight at 100 miles an hour, upside down, backwards. That is completely lawful because I haven't hurt a man, property, or breached a contract. That's why it's completely lawful. Your complaint that I'm going to have fun while everybody else is following the rules is irrelevant because it's completely lawful for me to do that. The only time it's illegal is when somebody got injured or somebody's property got damaged or I breached a contract during that period. Yes, I plead guilty to the facts, but there's charges that is impossible to pay. Not because it's the Constitution, because we're already forgiven. God charged us. We were charged. You know, it's like Cain was charged to rule the earth, you know, to protect the brothers, you know.
Yeah.
He was charged to do something.
Yeah.
We're forgiven from those charges because we can admit the guilt, transgress them, and then bow our heads in prayer that this is proof that I am who I say I am. And to get that concept into some of someone's head, to pound that into someone's head, is I wish I you don't know how joyful it is for me to have you contact me. Nobody ever calls me.
Really?
But, no, because it's too simple. I'm too simple. I got these simple things. It doesn't take forests and trees and all this hoo-to-hoo language. And I sound smart. I don't sound smart. That's the thing about it. I'm not. I'm just a guy that's asking questions that just understands that there's a contract thing to be formed around me, and I better formulate it and mold it to my liking. Otherwise, I'm going to have to live whatever the consequences of that contract are.
Yeah.
And that's what scared the shit out of me in that day that I was delivering that one letter. And it wouldn't have scared the shit out of me. It just came to me. And that's, and then ever since then, you know, I just decided, it's like, oh, my God, that's what this is all about. So if some guy writes to you and says, you owe me money, I'm like going, all right, I accept your offer that I owe you money. But how do you want me to pay?
Good question.
Real easy question, right?
Yeah.
Especially if it comes from a guy that represents a state.
Yeah.
Well, now I got this great thing called the blanket of protection. It says no state shall require any tender of debt. You got to remember the word tender and thing capitalized. You know, tender, it's not payment. You know, payment of debt. No, tender. That's why you legal tender, tender of debts, tender of anything, you know. And it's amazing how fast I stalkers just with one paragraph.
Wow.
In an affidavit of service, I always have someone mail it for me because, you know, they always say, "Oh, I didn't get it." But you know, the bottom line is that I get all that paperwork. I got so tired of it, and then all of a sudden it's like now I got it so simple that it's like it's actually boring. You know, it's like maybe I need to learn some more of this, you know, paperwork. The CRTM is great if you already have a contract in place. You know, you're just gonna alter it. That's all.
Yeah.
I don't see that as a tool to be used unless there's a full contract already in place. You know, because all you're doing is doing an innovation of contract. You can't just innovate a contract unless the contract's already in place.
Right. But
contract is being formulated is not a contract.
In these court cases, there's no contract, right?
Not until you find the bottom line. See, there is a contract eventually, in the end, when you go up there before the judge, and the judge, you know, either a jury comes in and enforces the contract, or you go up there and agree, and then before the judge blesses it and becomes a trust, all right? So you're going to get a contract one way or the other. The jury's going to give it to you, or you're going to do it yourself.
Yeah.
There's two ways of getting it.
The judgment.
Yeah. So you can either prepare it yourself through requiring the prosecution to deliver a proper signed plea deal. And it's in the civil rules of procedure how to get it, I swear to God.
Right.
You know, there's ways of getting that. And there's other ways of looking at, like I say, in the contract, is you're already forgiven in the contract of the laws of God, is you get them to go in there, motion for a plea change, and then go in there and do your thing. You got to have big fucking balls for that one because you really have to have faith in yourself and God.
Yeah.
And I believe in it very much. I would not hesitate in saying this 1,000 times that it works, even though I have never experienced it myself.
Yeah.
But the deal is that I would be that one that would have no problem running it because. Because I just know. I mean, we already got a couple guys that experimented with it. One guy, 9 charges, 9 of them. He walks into the place. We did a bunch of paperwork. I can't remember exactly. There's some slow process and a couple of non-CRTM stuff. And we got the, you know, and he was being held, you know, we put some human rights stuff in the thing. All of a sudden, boom, we get this phone call. I got a hearing tomorrow. What do you mean you got a hearing tomorrow? That's supposed to happen until June. You know, 4 months later, and it's like he's already been in jail for 4 months, like 8 months before he even has an arraignment, you know?
Yeah.
So they stepped up the arraignment on this guy, and he was, I don't know why they went after him. He was on suspended license, habitual driving, and stuff like that. They're holding him. It's like, so they expedited the hearing. They had a hearing. He says, what'd I do? And he says, well, we should bow your head. He said, "Are you sure?" He's kind of a halfway atheist anyway, or agnostic, whatever. And he goes in there and he drops his his head, and freaking next thing you know, freaking all my charges disappear. He calls us from his house.
Wow.
How'd it work out for you? Well, I'm at home. I was like, no shit. Really? You know, like going, okay, so what's up? He goes, well, I got another hearing for the failure to appear. I got to go back in again. And I was like, okay, well, what are you going to do? He's like, well, you know, I guess I'm going to, you know, got to do it again. You know what he didn't do? He didn't do it again. You know where he's at now? He's in jail. You know, this is a scenario.
Wow.
9 charges disappear at that moment.
Wow.
But they're still connected to a failure to appear. So all of a sudden he gets in this failure to appear at the hearing, and he goes, well, how do you plead, guilty or not guilty? And he goes, well, he thought he was only pleading to the failure to appear. Well, because he freaking pled guilty and not bowed his head again, because he asked that trick question again, how do you plead? And he was one of those guys that just are 50-50 on the fence. You know, I'm a half believer and mostly not believer. I decided I'm going to plead guilty to this one. Didn't realize that there's still a nexus to the other thing because it's still tied to the other one.
Yeah.
He says, well, if you're guilty for that one, how do you plead for the other one?
Yeah.
He got asked a second time. He goes, well, I guess I was guilty on those two.
Holy
I was like, are you kidding
Jesus.
Me? You witness for yourself.
Holy shit.
All you did is do this, and all of a sudden you're out, and then you just have to, and then you got tricked back in again. That's how the devil works. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
If you allow him to touch you in the book of Job, he's gonna get everything he wants. You lost your faith, so you get the badass contract, and then he's in jail for 6 or 8 months or something. That's so stupid. But so we knew, this is the first guy we taught to run this. Because, you know, I had this in my head for a long, long time. I didn't invent this thing because I heard it from another guy. And I just said, oh, man, you know, one of these days. And Jobs and I were talking one day, and I said, yeah, one time, you know, Vic Beck and Carl Wentz, you know, if Carl Wentz is telling a story, playing with it, and that's why we're in this biblical parallel right now. We see nexuses. I kept pounding in his head, saying, you know, we gotta press some of these people that freaking, you know, at the plea deal, just drop their head and say the King James Lord's Prayer, you know. And it's important to King James because King James did something to the Bible back then that's for the Englishman, and it's more readable because it's not about trespasses. And we're transgressing in trespasses because we're trespassing on somebody else's contract. The real deal is it's debt.
Debts, yeah.
We're talking about charges.
Yeah.
Debt is a charge.
Yeah.
And I am forgiven from all my debt, my sins, Christ, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, so that's, you know, we got this guy to do it, and he failed on it. And then there's another guy that just recently did it, like I said, and he was, wherever he did. Oh, yeah, he was in Los Angeles, had a gun, and he's firing it off in the middle of Los Angeles. He got himself beat up by the cops, thrown in jail. They drag him into the court, and that's when he dropped the Lord's Prayer, and the judge says, you know, congratulate him for moving it from criminal to civil. But we do get another scenario with that. But that's amazing how little simple things can happen.
Wow.
And we all miss it because we're so smart that we can write this great paperwork and I don't have to go talk because paperwork talks for me. It doesn't work that way. You know, not in my mind. In my mind. I mean, you know more about a Lord's Prayer because you're probably baptized a Christian at one time. You said it 1,000 times, but have no reason to know why, where, when to use it.
You're right.
Oh, good, great. You know, I can use it. I've been spending 56 years learning that word, and I got to use it once at death? Once? Once? Oh, well, that's right. You get to use it every time you walk into the church's walls of sin, because they're all asking for that same simple paper, you know, devil's money. You know, that ain't God's money. You know, if we're walking in there and they're saying, well, you know, you're forgiven for now, but, you know, when you walk out this door, you'll be unforgiven. And then you come back in again, you can say Lord's Prayer, and you'll be forgiven again. Then you'll be unforgiven. No, let's put this into actual practical. Okay, I'm dying. And the last thing that's going to come out of my lips is the Lord's Prayer. Boy, so I hope I can say all those words before I die, because usually you don't die that fast.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you can get it out before you die, okay, well, that's the one time I get to use it to go into heaven, into the heavens. Cause I go. Or what about all these other get-out-of-jail things, you know, on earth? Contract has been impeded. They have to follow the rules of Job. The devil must follow God's laws. If you... The devil is the court. The devil in Book of Job is what he did. He went up to God and can trick him. He says you can't touch him unless he allows you to. And that's what's happening in the courts, Book of Job.
I got to read that again.
Please do. I live Book of Job. I am Job. So you have to hold the faith all the way through. You will be given back your camels, your wives, your sheep, your land. Just know the facts that you have faith. And that's the important part that most people don't have, because they say, really, does it work? I say, no, it's not going to work, because we already proven that you don't have faith. So you just question it. You just question your own faith, just in your own question.
Yeah.
So, you know, I say you walk in the valley of the shadow of death. You have your staff with you, and you just believe in that scenario, because it can be that simple. People just need to, they just need to put their ego away and quit proving how smart they are, how well they can write a piece of paper and act like an attorney and get all these motions and go through all the things. All you're doing is just feeding their case, feeding their ego, feeding their complaint.
Yeah.
You haven't even got your own claim on the courtroom.
Yeah.
Like, that was one other last thing that we've been talking about recently is I put in to a court case over here in Pinellas County, or in county nearby here, so Hillsborough County. I'm going to pull up the case right now, where I put in, they got a claim. It's for a red light, but it really follows through on the same thing. It's a filing of counterclaim to this case. And what I wrote here is the documents for immediate entry into the recorded case. So she turned me into a sovereign citizen right away, and I don't give a shit what they say. And so then she ran stuff. But I put a judicial notice in for the civilian due process and demand, the mandatory judicial notice to the court, blah, 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 protected person, pursuant to Libra Code, Hag, all this fun stuff. This is just a couple pieces of paper I put in the court. I let them do it because I got a thing called Wolf of Wall Street. Last man speaks, loses, okay?
Right.
Well, I put my words in. These are my words. I had the filing of counterclaim, which included a judicial notice. And then the demand for civilian due process was one of the things. A written notice of claim, and then on the back end of it was a motion to discharge. All these things, all in one job, boom. I just, how I got this thing and how I prepared it is weird. It's kind of it's got my writing all over it, so it's actually my paper, even though the parts of it are plagiarized. But I believed in it. Because they're not going to bring me in the courtroom, because they also have Article 1, Section 10, first clause attached to that. And also, it's like, okay, if no one that was something that belongs to me, and I didn't give you tangible right to even do that, then you're just going to blow it off. Well, then I'm going to go to this other side of the sword. I'm going to say Article 1, Section 10, first clause. I got a bag of rights for you guys. If you want to go down that road, you're not going to like how I'm going to pay you. So they got either or. They got a choice, but they won't hear me. In fact, they put a request for hearing in 4 months ago. After I accused her of violation of due process, Fifth and 14th Amendment, and I was going to hold her personally liable if any one of her cops can beat me up and take my property, I'm going to go after her directly, because I never got a chance to stand before a black robe judge, right? And you're just playing Judge Dredd, and you put in her, because that's when she rolled back after I filed this, and she waited a period of time. It says, well, failure to pay. Well, who the fuck are you to say that I failed to pay? I didn't even get a chance to even be heard. So that's how I attacked her on my second one. And then she put in the adjusted record, for reporting purposes only, and then she put in request for hearing. It's like, because I wrote on a sweater, I said, don't think that because your piece of paper says check here for a hearing that there's an implied contract that I have to check your box. When I hand wrote a letter, that's the letter I just told you that I have a request hearing, and you ignored it. And I wanted a hearing. Well, she put the request for hearing in, and they haven't ever sent me an invitation. So what they're doing right now is they're just going through a speedy trial that just disappeared, and then they have to cook their books and erase.
I see.
Right now,
yeah.
As long as I don't say anything,
yeah.
You know, as long as they don't say anything, then the speedy trial comes into play, and then they have to get rid of it, and it goes away.
Yeah.
But the last man speaks. You know, if I spoke, okay, now the clock starts again. I'm just meddling. No, yeah. I put in a request for hearing. They did the request for hearing. They don't give me a hearing, so then it has to go away.
Yeah.
And I truly believe in that. And that's the only piece of paper when I say when the piece of paper works, it works if you know how to stay silent at the right times and know when to speak at the right times.
Yeah.
And that's where my experience comes in for me and how to hopefully teach people in the future that, yeah, it is that simple. You just don't keep piling paper on top of paper. Make your word, and then shut up.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So my counterclaim came in, and that's one thing why I started this second part of this conversation, or whatever part it is now. There's a complaint out there, and that's all everybody's doing, and we're feeding that complaint. But where's the counterclaim?
You got to make one.
It's already a known fact that if their counterclaim puts in, last in, first heard. I don't know if you ever heard that before.
What is it?
Last in, first heard.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so they got their complaint. I put my counterclaim in. Guess what gets heard first? The counterclaim. Yeah. They have to clear the counterclaim first.
Right.
So there's nothing in the court except for a complaint. And all I'm doing is freaking arguing the complaint. Wait a minute. Where's your standing in this courtroom now?
Right.
And that's kind of where I got Carl Lentz. Have you ever heard of that guy?
Yeah, I've heard of him years ago.
Okay, well, he had a notion. I just picked up a couple tidbits from him that I needed. And it was lucky I got them. They're pretty cool shit.
Yeah.
And the one of them that he said was one was that Lord's Prayer thing with that big kid. And that was when Carl Lentz was first coming out. And I said that's when I started milling over for a bunch of years. I finally succeeded in that one. And the other one was he always used to say, You need to open up your own suit. That's their suit. That's their akumas. That's their case. That's their skin package. You know, when you go on an airplane, you don't put your shit in somebody else's suitcase. You bring your own suitcase.
Yeah.
Well, yes and no. Because then Winston Shrout came in, and I remember him talking years ago about, you know, counterclaims.
Yeah.
First, last in, first heard.
Yeah.
Like, going, okay, Carl, you're right. However, I still can use the same case, except for I just don't have a counterclaim, and I have a claim, and they have a complaint. It automatically outweighs the scale of Lady Injustice, who's blind.
Yeah.
She hears a complaint, and like I tell everybody, my wife complains, I never listen to her. So if she comes in with a true claim, you know, then great, but there's nothing there. But I have a claim, and that outweighs any complaint all day long. So that's another thing that's missing in a lot of court cases. Everybody comes in there and they go, all they're doing is arguing. I didn't do that. This is bullshit. So how about making a counterclaim in that courtroom?
Yeah.
What will be the counterclaim is the question as well. And that's not for your guy right now, I'm telling you right now, because I understand counterclaim. You understand counterclaim. I can defend what I'm doing. You probably will learn how, but he's just trying to get out of that jail cell and get out of that hole.
Yeah.
I think the two things that are huge for him, in my humble opinion, would be to change the plea deal like we heard this one guy do.
Yeah.
And they say, well, I understand, you know, the judge says, I understand there's a request for a change of plea deal. He says, yes, there is, sir. He says, how would you like to plea? Well, Your Honor, I plead guilty to the facts. However, the charges, our Father who art in heaven, heart of you. You know,
yeah.
That's really easy for anybody to do.
Yeah.
Gotta believe in it. And the second thing would be the other one what I was talking about earlier is get them to the trick and get that signed plea deal.
Yeah.
So you can change. And like I said, it's on my Google Drive. I'll put your name on to look at this one document. You'll shit a brick when you see it.
What is the time limit when they offer you the plea, when you're ready to go into the jury trial, they say the plea deal is off the table.
That's what's off the table is when they go to the jury, because you didn't take it, so now we're going to the jury. The jury's going to prove you dead, prove you incompetent to handle your own affairs, and you go to jail and pay all the fines. But the timeline, I don't know. I mean,
well,
You gotta remember, this is all personal to anybody in any one case.
Well, my question.
I'm not personal to this case. I never will be. It'll be hard for me to ever get a grip of it because my belief is not his belief, and his case is not my case. So when you're in it, you have to believe in everything you do while you're in it. And it's like when everybody sits there and trying to explain, well, how do I do this next? How do I do this next? It's like, well, if you're asking these questions, you're not going to make it.
Right.
You have to have already taken the information and brought it to heart, not to mind, to heart.
Right.
So it's like if you're Shakespeare on the play and you're playing, you're doing your best Romeo and Juliet. That ain't coming from the brain.
Yeah.
That's coming from the heart.
Yeah.
Because you believe you are Romeo, and where art thou Romeo? Because Romeo speaks from the heart. And that's very important. You cannot be robotic. You have to be able to improv. So all of a sudden, you have a hiccup in the middle of, where art thou? What do you do with that?
Yeah.
What do you do with that? How do you live through that? And that embarrassment. You improv, and you're able to pull through. And that is where the heart stands and the ability to push this through. That's what a lot of people lack is they walk in there like they're numb. Space invaders. You know, I'm trying to remember this one with a goofy robot. You know, it's just robotic. You can't be robotic in this world.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It already sounds scripted. You already sound like someone trained you. When you come out, you speak as if you just walking into a courtroom. I blew this one guy away one time. He's all nervous. He's going in for a third-party debt collector because he didn't get the paperwork done right early, so he got him as far as, going into the courtroom, and I tried to help him as best I can, and I said, you're going to get some experience. It's not jailable. It's just money, and you have to deal with the consequences. But he walks in. He sits down at his table, and the prosecutor walks in, and he's just got a whole list of the same thing. They're going to rubber stamp all this stuff, and he's the only one that shows up. This is not going to be good for you, Barry, because you don't get to see how anybody else operates. Nobody's here to fight anything. It's just you, and I'm the guy that obviously coached you. I'm sitting behind, and the first thing I do when I walk in, I see the clerk, and judge is not there yet, and I'm just like, I looked around, I looked at the sheriff, and I said, this is a mighty nice courtroom, and my buddy just about shit a rubber nickel. He says, I can't believe you said that. He said this to me afterwards. He goes, how do you walk in a courtroom and you just compliment the beauty of the courtroom? I said, yeah, I go to all kinds of courtrooms and I get to see all these things. That's what I do. I travel around to go to courtrooms and, as an observer. And it's like, this is what, because, you should see what the older one looks like. I said, yeah, this one's pretty new. This is about 10 years old. And he goes, yeah. So I'm sitting there just having this casual conversation like it's comfortable. And that's the way I am in courtrooms now. If people can get that, that feeling of like, hey, we're just here to have a discussion. It's just a business meeting.
Yeah.
If you can get that in your freaking soul, and even if he comes out quirky, like going, how do you plead, our Father heart in heaven, and you think, well, that doesn't seem like business. It is business.
Yeah.
And to teach that, that comfort level, even though it's scary, even though I'll have the butterflies if I ever have to walk in again. It's like, oh God, I'm gonna make a mistake, but it's less and less now because I spend so much time, and that's why it's very advisable for anybody that's in any situation to go to some of those catacombs and watch how they rubber stamp how a judge says the words Confederate Reserve Note.
Yeah, get a feel.
They don't even say the word dollars. They just say how much they owe. $2,126.46. I'm in the background going, what? $2,246.46 of what?
Yeah.
They don't say it. They don't even say nothing. No dollars or nothing. They just say the numbers. And I'm like going, holy crap. When you have this knowledge in your head and you're just sitting as an observer in the background, you're making the judge nervous. So, why are you here? It's like, well, I'm just an observer. And I'm like, okay. You're going to be a problem. Because they don't like observers. They want to know that everybody's there for a reason.
I know.
And it just, when you start seeing this pattern, you realize, oh, wow, yeah. And it's really good practice to go in. It is. Just, you don't have to have a court case. Just go in and just listen and listen to how much stuff is missing when they speak. And And I did a lot of that in the past, not including my own time in. So, you know, I just, you know, I hope this helps with whatever little, you know, dissertation I gave. If you're helping your friend out, I'd help him, you know, in the easy way of doing things. I mean, I'm not saying this is easy, but ease of heart, you know, because when we put in something that we're strange to, how can we be comfortable?
Yeah.
You know?
That's it. You got to go into the court and get that experience and the feel of it and know who you are when you're in that court.
Yeah, and like I say, my experiences have been, you know, I throw a piece of paper and I walk in there and I think, yeah, I got them this time. They can't get past this piece of paper, and all of a sudden, next thing I know, I've got handcuffs in my hands behind my arms. $1,000 bond is being called in, and I'm like, oh, God. But now it's down to this. It's down to what I have spoken in my mind in any situation I come into. And if they don't work, then I know that I've been wrong the whole time. But I there's no way I can't deny it, because I know for a fact when they've done these plea deals and how they operate. I've seen the contract being formulated, and I knew that if I didn't write the contract, I ain't going to have to accept whatever they give me. It's going to suck.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, they say it was a plea deal, and you didn't know how to write anything in there. One thing, check this out. This is so funny. You're going to go to jail for 500 days, and here's your plea deal. Sign it. Well, at least before you sign it, add in there $1,000 a day. If you're going to go spend 500 days in jail, make sure you add in and need $1,000 a day for every day in jail. Make sure you get paid to do that. I mean, if you can't do anything to a plea deal, at least add to it. Things that are your benefit, you know, in a new car when I get out, and, you know, just put things in it. If you don't give you're afraid of scratching something out, just add things in it. So at least the 500 days will come out as $500,000 on your way out. And then sign it, you know? But you see how doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
You know? If you're going to go do something, at least get paid to do it. They already signed it. All you're doing is adding more to it and say, I need a freaking red carpet if I can sell with freaking air conditioning and no temperature lower than freaking 78.6 degrees. You know, put the shit in the plea deal before you sign it, for God's sake. If you can't scratch something out and you're afraid of scratching out, at least put something in it, because he put his stuff in it. Now, it's my plea deal, right? Well, here's his offer, and here's my addition, here's my addendum, and here's my signature, and now let's go bless this. I'm on my way to jail. Let's get started. I got a lot of money to make.
Wow.
Doesn't it make sense?
Yeah, it does.
You know? I mean, it's not that difficult to think creatively, because that's what they look for, is people that are willing to do shit like this. They would honor it. You're the one that signed it. They can agree to it. They have to pay you it.
Wow.
You know? Be reasonable, though. You know? You don't only have to get a T-bone steak every day for 500 days, because you're going to get sick and tired of T-bone steak. You're never going to eat one when you get out of jail. You know? So, you know, that's why you hear the last meal on the freaking deathbed, you know, on a death row. You've heard of that?
Yeah.
Same shit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no reason why you can't get something from them, because they're, you know, it's totally doable. But people just think that, like, well, that's just not normal. It's like, well, nothing is normal. I mean, you're trained. That's not normal. You know, horses don't go around circles and circuses because they want to.
Yeah.
They're trained to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we watch Perry Mason. We go to freaking NCSI. Bloods, you know, everybody watches this stuff, and they see that this is how they do it. This is the way I got to act. Yeah. I got to be a robot, because this is what we got to do, and there's no other way out.
Yeah.
Well, then if there is no other way out, then you might as well just accept the fact that there's no other way out and just take it. Just get it done with and go spend your time in jail. No other way. Now, they are looking for us to freaking settle the debt, the charge. And it's by forgiveness of the prayer, Article 1, Section 10, First Clause, the Supreme Law of the Land, and all these little things. You know? And a judge, God forbid, don't get a judge involved in anything. He is the referee. Point at the freaking prosecutor. Point at the freaking people that are freaking dragging you in there constantly. Keep the judge out of it.
Yeah, I get that.
Because he will defend it tooth and nail if he gets involved in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
You know, because now he's involved. Keep him uninvolved. I mean, leave him right where he's supposed to be. You're the referee. You're the guy up there can call the one love, six love, ten love, love six. No, no. You watch tennis. You see what happens to tennis players when they've been involved with the court judge. Get the asses handed to them.
Wow.
You know, I've seen it 100 times. That's the same thing. And you get to see the plea deal out in Denver, and you're going to go, wow. And I know this woman, she lives up in Montana now, and we talk about it every time we get on the thing about how, you know, she was just shocked that they actually handed her a signed plea deal. And then all she just grabbed that pen and just started crossing things out and putting in what she wanted. And next thing you know, she was out of jail within an hour or two after they freaking entered in the courtroom. The correctional facility said, we've never seen I've been in all of my life, and I've never seen anything like this. You know, it's like, of course you haven't, because it's just a trained dog, dude. You know, we don't talk your ear off too much, but, you know, if it directs you in a place that I feel comfortable, and I hope it finds a place that you feel comfortable, and maybe it'll alter some of your thoughts and how you attack some of these things, because
it
is that simple. I mean, you know, I'm just about ready to write this letter to this IRS group that, you know, thinks they can keep sending me letters. I'm like going, you know, listen, you ignore my first letter. What's up? You know, so now I get to go back in. I'm going to say, well, here's a copy of the letter. I already asked you about this once. And, you know, I apologize if I didn't fill out one form. But you know what? I'll be more than happy to pay you if you tell me what thing, capital T, you'd like me to pay with or to tender to this debt. You know, for, you know, as far as I'm concerned, as it's written, no state should require any tender of debt, payment of the debt, anything other than silver and gold. So what is it you're looking for, buddy? And I sent it to the attorney, not the counter-troll, and I'm done with these guys. So IRS is over. $15,000 is gone. Poof. You know, that's simple. You know, so, I mean, that's how I write. It's a one-paragraph sentence and done. and I get a certificate of service. I send it to them because they always like to throw things away. You know, so.
Yeah.